Welcome back in, hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in the great John Glennon from SI.com and NHL.com. John, what's going on? How are we doing?
I am doing well. How are you guys doing this morning?
We are wonderful. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So we've talked a lot about the draft for the Titans as they look ahead to later this month and what they could potentially do with their first-round pick. I'm interested in your thoughts on this, John. As you look at the offensive line, how likely do you think it is that they go interior with that coming up later this month on the offensive line? And if they go right tackle, which we were talking about earlier in the show, what does that tell you about what they think of Dylan Radins?
Yeah, I think we got a pretty good idea, you know, even as far back as the combine of what they thought of Dylan Radins. You know, when Mike Vrabel was very honest and said, you know, at this point, he is not a starter, you know, and maybe that would change in months to come. But you know, that still has to be a concern when you're saying a guy who's a second-round draft pick who's had a full year of seasoning, you know, is not that guy at this point. So, honestly, to me, you know, I'm not sure Dylan Radins is going to be that guy at any point if he's not there after a full first season. Maybe he proves us wrong. We'll see about that. But to me, when I look at the offensive line right now, I'd say that is clearly the neediest area for the Titans. You know, if you start the season tomorrow and you're looking at a wide receiver group, you've got A.J. Brown, you've got Robert Woods, and you've got Nick Westbrook, right? If you're looking at the offensive line, you still don't know who's going to play as your starting left guard or your starting right tackle. So that's why I think, you know, first-round pick, I think you need to address that starting offensive line.
No, I mean, I think it makes sense. I mean, I guess I'd look at it like, well, if you're not drafting quarterback, of course. But I'd look at it like, if there's a receiver there who is just like top of your board, and it's like, okay, this is a difference maker. There are offensive linemen you can get in the third round, but of course you can go vice versa too.
Right, and I think it's even deeper on wide receiver. You know, so I think you have a better chance of getting a good one if you go vice versa and getting one in the third than you do of a quality offensive lineman. Like to me, I mean, just, you know, the mock that I had today. I mean, I like the guy from Central Michigan, Bernard Raymond.
Go Chips.
You know, or tell you, there you go. You know, but he is a guy that you could conceivably, you know, plug in at right tackle this year as a starter, but he projects really as a left tackle starting in the NFL. So, you know, theoretically anyway, and it's my mock, I can do this kind of thing, right? You know, you could even move him after a year or two, if Taylor Lewan is no longer with the club down the line, maybe you move him over to left tackle, and that solves that problem too. So I think it's just too tempting to go offensive line. As I said, I think it's more difficult, you know, to find a really good offensive lineman later, you know, say in the third round or fourth round, than it is to find a really good wide receiver.
Yeah, and well, then that also, because I had, you know, Zion Johnson from BC in my last mock. We have our dueling mocks that we talk about here. But right. You know, part of the idea there, too, is that he supposedly could project as a center. So you got those two spots that are so important. I mean, I think they're the two most important positions, if you have a right-handed quarterback, left tackle, center, and maybe either or could potentially replace down the line. But what about John, what about quarterback? I mean, we're like, I think we're around 12% that it's possible, which is still way higher than, you know, the normal zero. I mean, do you feel like there's enough smoke out there to think that maybe they've got a guy identified and could go that route at 26?
I mean, I definitely think they're doing their due diligence on that. You know, we've certainly seen the reported, you know, visit of a guy like Malik Willis, who, you know, who probably won't be around, I wouldn't think, at that point. But, you know, and they've looked certainly at Riddert from Cincinnati and, you know, some of the other guys too. And, you know, I can understand the strategy there, certainly. You know, if there's a guy you fall in love with and you think he's your guy for the future, hey, go for it. There's no more important position on the team than quarterback, so dive in. But, you know, at least a couple arguments against quarterback there in that first round. You know, one, you know, people who know a lot more about the draft than you and I seem to say that this is not a particularly good crop of quarterbacks. You know, so even if you've got a guy or two available to you, you know, the fact that he is available at number 26 as opposed to getting snatched up in the first 10 or the first 15 might tell you something right there. You know, like Riddick, for example, you know, I just saw earlier this morning, Dan Orlovsky, who's generally pretty good, you know, about analyzing quarterbacks and so forth. You know, he likes Riddick, but at the same time, his comparison is Alex Smith. You know, and Alex Smith was certainly a quality NFL quarterback, but is that the guy that you really want to say, you know, get completely excited over and spend a first round draft pick on? You know, is the next Alex Smith? I'm not sure. And then there's, you know, the other argument too against the quarterback, in my opinion, is he's probably going to sit for a year anyway, right? With Ryan Tannehill pretty much locked in this year. You know, you're not going to have a second-round pick. So, you're not going to have an impact guy from this year's draft until the third round. And that's on top of the last two drafts, which you really haven't had much impact from the early guys either, outside of maybe a Christian Fulton. I think, you know, couldn't you do, you know, more with, you know, a guy who's going to make more of an immediate impact? Don't you need a guy who's going to make more of an immediate impact, you know, given what's happened recently?
John Glennon on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com here on Robbie and Rex Road. And, John, you had an interesting piece the other day on SI.com just talking about John Robinson and the lack of draft capital that the Titans have, comparatively speaking, to some other teams around the league. And we know, I mean, we've talked so much about draft picks, especially high draft picks from John Robinson the last couple of years. How much pressure is on him? How much importance do you place on this draft in terms of, you don't have many picks, but you got to make sure you hit on the ones that you have, comparatively speaking to what we've seen from John Robinson in the past?
Yeah, you know, it's been interesting to watch the drafts over the years, and certainly, you know, John Robinson in his first 2 years, you know, clearly felt a need to rebuild with what had been a very poor team. So I think you saw in those first 2 years, he had a total of 19 draft picks, you know, hit on a large number of those draft picks, and really, that helped kind of build a base for this Titans team. And even as recently as the 2019 draft, you know, was outstanding, you know, producing what, five starters, I think there. Last two drafts have not gone as well. Certainly, you know, the 2020 draft was a poor one. 21, you know, I still think there are question marks out there. We talked about Raidens, you know, there's a guy like Rashad Weaver, who we don't really know yet, even Caleb Farley, we don't really know yet because the sample size is so small. But nonetheless, I think you've got to have some hits. You can't just keep going 1, 2, 3 years, you know, without making much of an impact. The good news is that, you know, if you look at the big picture again, you know, the Titans haven't been severely impacted in terms of win-loss record, in terms of making the playoffs of late. So I think the big picture with John Robinson and with the draft is still a good one at this point.
So, John, I wanted to – you're very versatile, of course, and although you're not necessarily a great voter for first star of the game,
jeez,
as we found out this week. No, I'm just kidding. No, your vote was fine, but I hope you would agree that an executive decision should have been made to change it once the hat trick happened. Agree? Can we all agree on this?
No.
No? Come on.
I would not agree. No. It's an empty net third goal. You know, and I don't – it's a hat trick, sure, yeah. And certainly that's a you know, perfectly good first star. But if you saw that game and UC Saros making 47 saves, I mean, the Wild set a franchise record for shots on goal. They had six power plays. They were lighting up the Predators' net, and Saros was tremendous. You know, I think he was the biggest difference in the game. So I would stick with that pick, even though, as you mentioned, you know, stars are collected with still 5 minutes to go. And at that point, Johansson did have the two goals instead of three.
All right, we'll agree to disagree on that. But what do you think about this team right now, where things are headed as the playoffs approach? And, you know, we just talked to Dan Hynoe. I thought it sounded kind of like they this splitting up of Johansson and or excuse me, splitting up of Duchesne and Forsberg is a little bit of a forward thinking thing toward the playoffs that might stick. What do you think about that?
I think that makes a lot of sense. You know, we've seen that over the years. You know, a lot of times when teams get in the playoffs, and there's so much focus in a seven game series on X's and O's and matching up and so forth, a lot of times teams will find a way to kind of silence or at least neutralize an opponent's top line. And if you're the Predators and you had so much with, you know, Johansson and Duchesne and Forsberg, and all of a sudden that one line gets neutralized, and you're looking around and saying, okay, who else is going to step up? And you've got issues all of a sudden. This way, you know, what they started with the other night, and it worked pretty well, is to kind of break up that one big line a bit. And even as you said, though you're separating Duchesne and Forsberg, or a great combination, you're still balancing those top two lines, and you're giving the opponent two options to have to think about. And, you know, I think very interesting to me, they move up the rookie Philip Tomasino onto the first line. He responds, you know, right away, goal, two assists in that game against the Wild. You know, and they sit Elie Tolvanen. Disappointing, certainly, you know, from the respect, you know, from the standpoint that Elie Tolvanen is a first-round draft pick. But, you know, at some point, if you're a first-round draft pick and you're on a top-six forward, you've got to do more than just play a good two-way game. You know, you've got to bring some production to that lineup. And as John Hines said the other day, it's not necessarily – you can't necessarily get on a player for not scoring, but you can – sit him down if he's not even getting the chances to score, and that's kind of what the problem was with Elie Tolvanen. You know, you like the guy as a two-way player, but that's not good enough for a top-six forward, and you know, Tomasino took advantage of that opportunity right away.
John Glennon from SI.com, NHL.com has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. John, great stuff as always. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning.
Always enjoyable. Thanks, guys.
All right, John Glennon, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts on the Predators and the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Thursday morning, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Thanks to John Glennon for joining us in the last segment. Looking ahead at the NFL draft, and Joe, I was doing some reading yesterday, and I came across this story on ESPN.com looking at a certain draft prospect who we've had our eyes on here on the show at the wide receiver position, Treylon Burks, and we've talked about him some. He's not necessarily the fastest guy. I think he ran a 4.5 40. The play speed does look a little different when you watch the guy run with a football in his hands, but they did kind of a deep dive on Treylon Burks on ESPN.com. And I'm trying to remember who had the story. Was it Alex Scarborough? It was Alex Scarborough who had the story on ESPN.com about Treylon Burks. And it goes through, like, basically this entire journey of how Treylon Burks has ended up here to this point. Talking about, you know, going to Arkansas and playing high school football and baseball and basketball and all these different things. He almost went to a local Christian community college that was really, really small, even though he's a top 100 player in the nation. So all these things of how Treylon Burks has gotten to this point. And then we get to a part of the story that has me convinced that the Titans need to draft this guy, and really for no other reason than this. This is a little snippet from the story that Scarborough put together at ESPN.com. Quote, Pittman, talking about Sam Pittman, head coach at Arkansas, struggled to come up with the proper way to describe Burks. Smart, articulate, someone who cares about his teammates, but the word he kept coming back to was country. Quote, he hunts wild boar with his dogs and the whole nine yards, this coming from Pittman. Yes, you read that correctly. Burks doesn't just fish. He doesn't just hunt deer with a crossbow. He goes out in the woods in search of wild boar with nothing but his dogs and a knife. Essentially what happens is this. The dogs find the hog and corner it. Then another dog is sent into the hole to hold the wild animal in place. If it's too small, they'll turn the hog loose. But if it's big enough to feed them and others, it's time to go in. This is what Traylon Burks does.
Woosig piggy.
Yeah, well, yeah. Woosig piggy. Hunting hogs with nothing but a knife out there. Traylon Burks, my new favorite draft prospect, potentially in the history of the National Football League.
That's pretty outstanding. That is
not to mention he's a pretty good receiver.
Yeah. You ever killed a hog?
I have not.
I've been there for a hog killing.
You really?
Yeah.
I could never picture that.
It's a big thing in Michigan.
Well, we had a neighborhood pig roast, and the bunch of the kids got to ride in the back of the truck, go out there and watch the men kill the hog. And then I sat on the back of the truck with my hand on the dead hog.
Did they do it with nothing but a knife?
It was actually gun and knife.
Okay.
Yeah. Pretty gruesome.
This is what Traylon Burks does.
But Traylon Burks is actually out there with his dogs.
Yeah. Nothing but his dogs and the hogs out there with Traylon Burks. He's getting stuff done.
I mean, I think that it's a necessity, right?
I mean, in all seriousness, there's a bunch about Traylon Burks in this piece that Alex Scarborough has put together that's very impressive, and he seems like, you know, obviously a really impressive player, really impressive person as well. So, to me, he kind of checks a lot of boxes of what you're looking for if you're a team out there. But I will say the hog hunting put it over the top for me. Love this guy.
I feel like, I mean, I could see, you think J-Rob's been on a hog hunt? I wouldn't be surprised.
I would not be surprised if J-Rob's been on a hog hunt.
If they get talking about hog hunting, it might be over.
Yeah. Is that a
normal might be moving
thing?
Up to get him.
You guys talking about this, you just don't seem surprised. I have, like, that is just not heard of.
Are you going to Yankee up this show even
more?
Yeah,
what are we
now?
Doing here? Oh, it's normal.
Like, Will, our intern, or he was our intern, but he's the overnight guy. And we were talking on Friday, what are you doing this weekend? Turkey hunting? I'm like, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, for the record, you know, hunting is done in other parts of the country.
It's not just
maybe
a South
I just,
thing.
No, I know
I
it is.
I used to go pheasant hunting with my dad.
No, I know it is. It's just way more popular here.
Yeah. Is it?
I'm not saying
it's
bad or anything.
What's different kinds of hunting in different regions? Like, hog hunting is more down here.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Gator hunting.
Really, specifically more in Arkansas. There's a lot of that going on out there.
Yeah.
Hence, they're the Razorbacks.
Right. Gator hunting, more, you know, you wouldn't see that in the Midwest. But, like, deer hunting is, I mean, half of the state of Michigan is, like, absent on the first day of deer hunting.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they don't go to, I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe it's just New York in particular.
Maybe it's just me not being
What's
cultured?
Wrong with you New Yorkers? Don't kill things? Rude to people.
You're mean to people.
Pay $7 for a cup of coffee.
What's going on here?
I would pay $20 for a cup of coffee if it was necessary. We Uber Eats it.
Well, yeah. In times of desperation, you got to do it. By the way, a lot of reaction to that, by the way, including Michael Jordan not tipping someone and saying that on the text line and saying that him being his caddy was tipping off.
Hey, there you go.
I rest my case.
Joe wanted to read that
Isaiah
on
Thomas
air
would never
so
do that.
Bad.
What's that?
Isaiah Thomas would never do that.
Isaiah Thomas, I'm sure, is a very good tipper.
The end of this article is pretty amazing, too, that Alex Scarborough has put together. Talking about Traylon Burks. He's going to be probably a first-round pick, maybe early second round, but probably first-rounder. He's not going to the draft. He'll be in Hot Springs, Arkansas, surrounded by friends and family. When his professional career is over, he'll return home to Warren. Maybe he'll be on a lake and can fish right out of his own backyard. He gets giddy just thinking about it. There'll be animals everywhere, he said. Quote, cows, horses, chickens, hogs, donkeys. Literally everything. Traylon Burks very excited about animals.
Wow.
The Titans have to draft this guy.
I'm sold. Actually, like, in all seriousness, if they drafted that guy, that'd be a good pick.
It would be.
He's a hell of a player.
Yeah. No, like, I think he's really good. Now, there are people, and he's kind of he's sliding down some people's draft board right now because of the 40 time. He ran, I mean, obviously, you've got, like, Chris Olave out there running a 2.5 or whatever he did out there with all these times at the combine, and I think Burks was around a 4.5. So it's not
4.5 slow now.
Yeah, apparently 4.5 is really slow now. But, again, this is one of those things where just turn the film on. Watch that guy play.
Yeah.
I've seen him run away from the Alabama secondary. He's pretty fast.
Right. Oh, no question. Now, he's on the, you know, the bigger, more physical receivers, which fits the Titans, but you could also look at, you know, now picking up Woods, having A.J. Brown. Do they want a different kind of player?
Yeah.
Nick Westbrook-Keene, a bigger guy. Do they want a Wandale Robinson, for example, kind of player?
Dustin from Hopkinsville texting in says, Okay, we have hogs in Western Kentucky. We kill them because the farmers hate them. They destroy crops. There's no season or number you can kill. On my parents' farm, we've killed many, but never just with a knife. They're mean, they're fearless, and they're strong. This dude is definitely the next step up from alpha male. Draft him for his views and physical capabilities and fearlessness. He's literally doing it how cavemen did it. This is coming from Dustin from Hopkinsville on the text line.
I'm sold even right. More.
See? It's a big day.
If he can do that, what can he do to a safety in this league?
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Safety is just trembling in fear throughout the NFL right now with Treylon Burks. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5, The Game. Seltzerland is turning Nashville into a hard seltzer paradise on Saturday, April 30th at Riverside Golf Links. You can enjoy this one-of-a-kind immersive experience as you spend the day tasting over 100 unique hard seltzers, indulge in mouth-watering munchies, tons of seltzer swag, and bust out the gram for the most Insta-worthy moments as well. Seltzerland has rounded up the best hard seltzer brands in the land for one epic day dedicated to the bubbly brew everyone can't get enough of. Go to thegamenashville.com/contest to enter for your chance to win tickets to Seltzerland. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. I got some tickets to give away to see the Nashville Sounds take on the Durham Bulls coming up this Sunday at First Horizon Park. A four-pack of tickets to give away. Be caller number 5, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, caller number 5. We'll win a four-pack of tickets to see the Sounds take on the Bulls coming up this Sunday at First Horizon Park. Going to be, I think, about 70 degrees that day, too. Going to be fun.
Very nice. It's nice. About time, right? Is that happening? I just assume we'll go back to 40s.
We probably will at some point. Feels like we're getting a little bit of a later start this year on the springtime. Not a big fan of it.
Mm-hmm. A lot of potholes, too.
Yeah, there's that, too. By the way, John McClain coming up at 9 o'clock. Legendary NFL writer. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans and all things NFL coming up to begin the 9 o'clock hour, so looking forward to that. Hal Gill at 9:30 as well. Right now, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Dustin from Hopkinsville, very impressed with Treylon Burks. I think I've convinced at least three people on the text line that Treylon Burks now the way to go for the Titans.
I mean, John Robinson catches wind of that hog story. He's got to move him up his board,
it's
gotta
be, right?
He has to.
You would think so. So you and Jared got into it yesterday on Jared versus Joe regarding the offensive line and the right tackle position, specifically with Dylan Raiden. Now, Jared seems to believe that Dylan Raiden just is what he is, and he's not going to be any good as they move forward here. It didn't necessarily sound like John Glennon disagreed with that, by the way. But you're of the mindset that maybe he's not going to be good, but there is a chance that he can improve and that he could be the starter at right tackle for the Titans this season. What do you make of the idea, if you're the Titans, of are you even considering going right tackle for the first pick? And if you do, what does that tell you about Dylan Raiden's and how they view him moving forward?
Yeah, I just don't know. I think it's good sometimes to admit you don't know. Jared thinks he knows or says he thinks he knows. And like, he may end up right, but he is guaranteeing that Dylan Raiden's, he guaranteed Dylan Raiden's will never play a snap at right tackle, or he won't be the starter or whatever. If they draft a right tackle, if they draft a tackle first, then I will fall in line with that and agree. I mean, I think that is a pick that will very much speak to someone on the roster who, to me, I'm still keeping an open mind on. In part because, although it was not the Titans' choice, he did get forced into action. He did go out there and do some good things. Wasn't great. Wasn't awful. Actually got put on an island with Bosa a couple times and was okay. So I thought that was a confidence builder for him in the win over San Francisco. But the bigger thing with me with Raiden's, he looked bad in camp. There's no question. Also, there are circumstances that are a bit unique here. COVID-related, for one, no football the year before, already coming from a lower level, which Look, some people say that's why you don't, you know, draft guys that go against other SEC linemen every week. Then you have a much better idea of who they are as a football player, right?
Yeah.
But I'm just not willing to give – I'm just not convinced that he's incapable of being a starting right tackle for an NFL team. If they draft a tackle, I think that's your answer. Basically, they view Radins as a swing guy, maybe as a guy who can compete at left guard, but not what they thought they were getting when they drafted him the second round last year.
Yeah. I mean, it's a big offseason. I mean, there's the thought process of it's a second-round pick. You need to be ready to go anyway, and I subscribe to that theory, but obviously he wasn't last year. To me, like, there's no excuse for Dylan Radins if you get to training camp this year and you're not ready to start. Like, if that's going to be the case, then what do you have there?
You were just overdrafted.
You were just overdrafted.
It's a bad pick.
Yeah, I mean, and then to think about the idea of them taking a right tackle again, when it's you've spent a first-round pick, a second-round pick last year, the idea of them taking another first-round pick on a right tackle to me is just like, oh, boy. But, I mean, if you feel like Dylan Radins isn't it, like, you've got to address it. So,
yeah. Right. I mean, you have to, as a GM in sports, you have to clear the slate and say what benefits the team. You can't say, I drafted a tackle. And I drafted another tackle. I can't draft another tackle, right? Like, you can't think that way. So, fans are going to be upset if that's the way they go. And I get it, because it will bring up the fact that, well, again, it will confirm that you've actually swung and missed twice in a row. It may be headed that way. It may end up that way. But if you do draft a tackle, then you are saying to everybody, yep, we whiffed last year too. But here's... We're gonna square this one up here, but instead of having strike three, but I think the offensive line is clearly it's the weakest area of the team, and I think right tackle specifically of the starting 22 is the weakest position, because I still would say I have more trust in Aaron Brewer based on what we've seen of him, if need be at left guard, than Radins or anybody else. Well, there really isn't anybody else right now at right tackle.
Let's go to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Liam texting in says, J-Rob can't risk using a first-round pick on a tackle. If he whiffs again, that's career-threatening. Maybe not immediately, but it would be a huge stain. That's coming from Liam on the text line.
It's fan scream-threatening, but Amy Adams Strunk hires and fires. And I mean... The bigger question is, are they good next year?
Sure.
You know, does Robert Woods work out? Does this defense that we think on paper looks really good, is it that good? Are they good? Do they win the AFC South? If all that happens and you again have constructed a good football team, because the record is really what matters, then he can survive that.
Right, but it will be fan scream threatening for sure.
Like, oh, yeah.
People are going to be going nuts if they draft another right tackle,
and
especially that high, and it didn't work out. Yeah, I don't
blame
him. Like, you're not that far away, I don't think, from having to find a left tackle too, right? I mean, I think Taylor Lewan has a chance to come back next year and be really good, and maybe he's really good for a few more years here. I don't know. But at some point, I wouldn't think that too far in the distant future, left tackle is going to come back up as well.
Right, and that's to Glennon's point, which is a good one. Yeah, it's sort of why I was thinking Zion Johnson, too, because Ben Jones is the other veteran who may not be here too much longer. I didn't think he was going to be here next year. But, yeah, you think that. Look, you could, in theory, you could draft a tackle, and that tackle and Dylan Radins could compete for right tackle, and Radins could keep getting better, and at some point it could be that tackle and Radins could be your two tackles. This is a very optimistic view, but, again, going along with the idea that Dylan Radins can get better – and still has a chance to be an NFL player. So you could look at it from that perspective too. And speaking of Glennon, he and I, by the way, both had Wandale Robinson on our mocks. I'm going to say that Glennon copied me since mine came out a day earlier. But, no, we've talked about that. Wandale.
Say so too. It's too small.
I don't quite think of Wandale like I thought of Rondale last year, but I am a Wandale fan.
Hey, the people are going to start screaming at you. He's too small.
There's a lot of that going around.
BBN.
That's right. Yeah, he's got the heart of BBN in him. That adds like 4 inches to his height and
I thought we're
20,
talking about reasons
pounds.
To draft him. Not to not
Bleeds
draft him.
Blue.
That football juggernaut,
yeah.
Kentucky.
Yeah, really out there. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what they do with this pick. I mean, for some reason in these national – and we were talking about this earlier.
Oh, God.
Like the
– Peter Schrager.
The obsession with middle linebacker
what
and, like, N'Kobe Dean. I just don't get it. Like, I get it. First off, I think he's a good player.
Oh, he's going to be great.
He's going to be a great player. The Titans don't need a middle linebacker right now.
I don't understand why this is so prevalent. And then – so he his comes out, what, today or yesterday, whatever, Peter Schrager's from NFL Network. And I'm like, well, I want to hear reasoning on this. Like, I don't necessarily – look, everybody who does a mock draft does not have a thorough grasp on every single roster.
Sure.
Although I'd say if you work for the NFL Network, you should have a pretty good grasp. I need to hear – I haven't heard reasoning because there's a lot of them that have this.
A lot.
I don't – like,
I mean, I guess it's just because he's the best available player left on the board at that time. I don't know, but
– but any – yeah, if you're doing a mock draft, you still got to consider need,
yeah,
don't you? And I think if you're doing a draft, an actual draft, you also have to consider need. Everybody likes to talk about it's how, like, they just go by their board, but you have to consider
need.
We
just drafted N'Kobe Dean, and, you know, maybe if Zach Cunningham and David Long get hurt, he can get in there and play.
Right. Now, I guess people can look at it like, well, Jayon Brown gone, Rashawn Evans gone. Yes, but they drafted Monty Rice. They have kept Zach Cunningham. They have David Long. They're not going to draft an inside linebacker. I mean, maybe they'll draft one somewhere in there, but I don't think high at all.
I've seen a lot of it lately.
It's weird.
N'Kobe Dean to the Titans. Like, okay. I guess that's the route. Some people got Caleb Farley right last year of the Titans.
That is true. I mean, apparently.
Dane Brugler's Beast is coming out today, too. So
the Beast is out. I haven't been able to look at it, but the Beast is out. Very exciting.
Coming up next, it is time for Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, for your opportunity to guess the goal scorer for the Predators tonight. If you get it right, you'll win a pair of tickets to a future Nashville Predators home game. We'll do that next. Attention, men. Have you been struggling with erectile dysfunction? Well, Hillside Medical Clinic has a breakthrough treatment for ED that does not require any pills, injections, or surgery. And right now, Andrew from Hillside Medical Clinic joins me to tell us all about it. Andrew, what's going on?
Hello. Frustrated. If you're out there struggling in the bedroom with ED, we have helped so many guys at Hillside Medical Clinic with a technology. It opens up and regrows blood vessels with gentle pressure waves. That's a great thing, as you can imagine, in the bedroom. More blood flow, more circulation. This is treating the root cause instead of just masking symptoms like what the pill does.
Andrew, what kinds of studies have been done on this new technology?
This is heavily proven and vetted technology. We have almost 60 now clinical studies, third party, that have been done on our technology. They say safe and effective. I love it when they say no side effects and that it leads to a clinical increase in blood flow.
And Andrew, you've got a special offer if our listeners call in right now.
We do, and it's actually pretty unique today. Call us now if you are ready to end the erectile dysfunction. It's the exam, assessment, the blood flow ultrasound. It's the gift that produces immediate results in the bedroom free. And today, Thursday only, tune-up treatments are included. So if you notice that results fade, we'll retreat you free of charge, and it's good today only.
You heard it, guys. Put a stop to your erectile dysfunction by treating the root cause of the problem. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now to qualify for that offer at 615-576-5000. That's 615-576-5000. Put a stop to your ED and regain your love life. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now at 615-576-5000. And it is that time of the day, time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. Nashville Predators in action tonight, taking on the Ottawa Senators. Puck drop at 6 o'clock, pregame at 5 o'clock here on ESPN 102.5. The game, big game tonight for the Predators. They're all going to be big coming down the stretch. The standings in Preds Pick to Click are as follows. The listeners and Joe Rex Road tied atop the standings with 17 correct answers apiece. Nothing for me last game. Philip Forsberg passing the puck too much. 15 for Robbie and 12 for Michelle, who was on the board yet again last game. So the competition heating up dramatically as we head down the stretch. With that in mind, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Chris from Fairview, today's participant in Preds Pick to Click. Chris, how's it going?
Good. How you guys doing?
We're great. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, Chris, who is your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators?
I'm going to try to break the tie, and we're going to go with Duchesne.
There we go. Matt Duchesne, the selection. Chris, appreciate you calling in.
Thanks, guys.
So Matt Duchesne, the selection from Chris.
In his old stomping grounds.
In his old stomping grounds tonight in Ottawa. Tell you what, if he has a shot like he had the other night, he'll probably score a few tonight for old Matt Duchesne.
Maybe he'll have bad memories of playing for Ottawa and won't score.
Maybe so.
You never know. Could go either way.
Joe Rexroad, you're up first today in the competition.
Philip Forsberg. Thank you.
You didn't give me time to ask you who your pick was going to be. But there you go. Matt Duchesne.
We just need to take a moment. Joe, you went first.
I mean, finally. What's it been, 2 months?
Duchesne and Forsberg off the board. Back to the traditional strategy here in the competition. Michelle, you're up next. Michelle nailed the Ryan Johansson pick last time out. Does she return to number 92? Let's find out.
If only he could have saved one for you, you know? Could have held one back. Don't use them all one night, Ryan.
I know. I did pick them quite a bit at the beginning of the season. Also, I thought I was first today because I went last.
Y'all are really struggling with this order.
I thought I was first today, so I was really just
set on Robbie has made it clear how it goes. What's the issue?
But then I was like, maybe Tanner Jeannot, who I've been picking quite a bit lately. But I'm going to go with the captain, Roman Josi.
Roman Josi, the selection.
To get to number 20, that would be.
I like it. Give me the kid, Philip Tomasino.
Mm.
I think he scores. Give me a power play goal for Tomasino tonight. I'll take Philip Tomasino with a goal tonight. Two in a row.
See, if he scores a 5-on-5 goal, it's just going to be more and more likely that they just stick with this new, which I'm already making the assumption, you rarely see a game go that well, and then a line change that just happened get changed back right away. So I'm assuming it's going to be the same lineup if he scores again. But yeah, if it's on the power play, it's a little different story, I guess. But still, High Note had some interesting stuff on Thomas.
He did.
About how he's kind of waiting for him to. I think it's a lot of promise. Really, overall this year with Thomas.
Look, I think if you're a Predators fan, again, we talked about this earlier, the numbers, they're not going to jump off the page at you. He's got 11 goals. He's got 17 assists, 28 points. But I think High Note hit on something earlier that I've kind of noticed as of late. I mean, there is no question Tomasino needs to get bigger. Like, I'm talking probably 10 to 15 more pounds he needs to get bigger. I mean, I don't think there's any question about that. And that's not going to happen overnight. That's going to happen over the course of the next few years.
But it will happen.
Philip Tomasino. But it will happen at some point.
That's a good improvement
to
need.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And, you know, Forsberg went through the same thing. You know, he wasn't quite as small as Tomasino when he came in, but he went through the same thing where he needed to get bigger. And then he finally did, and then he took off when he first got into the league. Like, I think you should be really encouraged if you're a Predators fan that Tomasino is already this effective. And he's not that big. And I'm not saying that you got to be like a big guy all the time to be effective. But as the season goes on with the way this team plays, I did expect him to maybe wear down a little bit. And he really hasn't. Like, I think he's getting better, which that's really encouraging, I think, if you're a Predators fan. So, now, does he need to be, you know, the long-term answer this season on the first line? I don't know about that. I guess we'll find out. We'll see how he can hold up in that role, but I thought he's really good the other night against Minnesota. He's got great vision with the puck. He's, I think, advanced beyond his years in terms of his playmaking ability. Like, he can make some really good passes out there, and when he gets that size part of it together, Preds could have a pretty darn good player in Philip Tomasino.
And he just needs to take a night off from scoring tonight to help the rest of us out.
You're in front of me. I don't know what you're talking about.
You can. It's getting close though. You can do a lot of things to contribute to a win, to a team success without scoring a goal.
Yeah,
as Ryan Johansson's done many nights.
That's
since
right.
You picked him, Michelle.
Dustin from Hopkinsville texting in says Johansson stays hot. He says Joey scores tonight, gets a hat trick. Michelle moves away from him. 3 goals in one night. Michelle says, "All right, see you later."
Listen, it's just a lot in one night. You know.
Yeah, I wouldn't have picked him either.
See? Thank you, guys.
He's still. Shoot!
Also, I think at one point I had 0 points in pick-to-click, and you guys were about 7, so I'm slowly but surely creeping up.
Doing well.
No, for sure.
But then this kind of like this year, in this kind of an example with him, with Johansson, that, yeah, dude, shoot a little bit more? I mean, I know he still doesn't shoot the puck that much. And I realize also that the two goals he scored the other night were not shots. They were redirections.
But that's also be great to see more.
It'd be also, yeah.
When he gets in that area, not many people can move him.
But, I mean, you're talking 54 points from him this year in 65 games, or excuse me, 66 games. He reaches the 20-goal mark for the first time since 2014-15, first time in a Predators uniform ever that he's hit the 20-goal mark. Like, you know, he's got a great shot. I've said that ever since he's been here. And the first play he made with the Predators after they traded him back in 2016, they were in Colorado, and he was on the power play on the half wall. And it was like an Ellie Tolvanen style, put the puck in a coffee cut type shot. And I was like, oh, my goodness. Why don't you do that more? And he's doing a little bit more this year.
Yeah, I mean, look. My favorite thing that he does, his vision and his ability, his touch as a passer, I mean, it's pretty good. It's fun to watch. So it's what he is. You know, first, he's a creator, he's a centerman, but yeah, when he gets, you know, 20% this year. So just like Forsberg and Duchesne, they've shot a ton more, you know. Keep shooting.
Yeah.
Especially tonight because no one picked him.
Dustin texting in says, does Tomasino hunt wild game with just a knife? I can neither confirm nor deny. I've never asked him. So, is he like Traylon Burks going after the wild hogs with just a knife? Probably not, but.
Well.
Good old Canadian boy, maybe he is.
I was going to say, what would he be hunting up there? Deer and pheasant.
Moose? I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. Elk?
I don't know.
Are elks endangered?
Depending on how north you go.
I don't make jokes about hunting elk.
I have no idea.
Polar bear? Sasquatch? Bigfoot?
Yeah. This is a game they need to win tonight. That's a nice transition by me. Hey, this is a game they need to win tonight.
Didn't want to do any more of this joke. Just move on from it. they do need to win this game.
High Note talked about it. They won 4-1 against Ottawa, which I think is pretty deceiving on how that game went last week. I mean, he basically said they got worked in that game was the word that he used, and they did. They did get worked in that game. So maybe that's a good thing that you're playing them like so soon after that happened and probably not going to be overlooking the Ottawa Senators tonight. At least I would hope so. And this is a game that when you stack up these two teams on paper, you need to win this game for the Predators.
It is a good point by High Note. And obviously those guys are thinking of this stuff all the time. Like, how can we avoid another pratfall against a lesser team? But having played them a week ago, and yeah, I thought Ottawa looked, maybe the Preds helped them look this way, but I thought they looked pretty fast and pretty good in that game. So that probably does help you that you just saw that and you know that final score is a little bit deceiving.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by the legendary John McClain. We'll get his thoughts on Titans and all things NFL as well. Take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Stop by Social Furniture at 5412 Charlotte Avenue in Nashville and enter for a chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Preds take on the Chicago Blackhawks coming up at Bridgestone Arena on Saturday, April 16th. Also, don't forget to check out their new sofas while you're in there. Must be 18 or older to enter the contest. No purchase necessary. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.